Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoyed tonight's little story, you can know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and endless satisfaction just by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own erotic fantasies for free. So you can experience every kiss, every lick, every thrust as if it was really happening. Now, tonight's story is another listener's fantasy. And honestly, the fantasy is that big, I don't know if I can contain it in just two episodes. But you know, if you want to hear your fantasies narrated right here, then it's so easy for you to just email me at devlin@wilddesires.com. And I will bring your fantasy to life. You know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just loosen any clothes and put your earbuds in, closing your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice, caressing over and inside you. And when you're ready to surrender to pleasure, just go ahead and take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. And let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 20 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to release that inner woman as you listen to my voice and feel the story moving through your body as you enjoy tonight's show. Tati's sleep was shattered by the loud banging on the door, her bedroom still cloaked in darkness. She could only assume that this was a life or death emergency. If it wasn't, it was about to become one. Dressed in only a loose shirt, Tati stumbled through her apartment, knocking into walls as she went. Despite the fact she had lived in this apartment for 15 years, she had never felt more lost in it than she did now. Shaking her head from the remaining tiredness, she managed to find her apartment door. Squinting through the security peephole, she could only make out vague shadows on the hall outside. Consoling herself that if someone was outside her apartment, they must have got past security. And just looking at the security by the main door, Tati knew that would make one hell of a lot of noise. So reaching up, she twisted the deadlock and let the door swing open. To say the next few seconds were a blur was most definitely an understatement. The only thing that was definite was there was a large furred hand around her neck, squeezing it so tightly that she blacked out there and then. It must have been ages until she came round, because she certainly was not in her apartment. Trees surrounded her, and she could only guess that she was in the middle of a forest. It seemed to be somewhere nearing dawn. It certainly seemed like that time when she had returned from parties in the past, just before daybreak. Of course, coming home from the parties, she had been wearing slightly more clothes than she was right now. Mostly she had worn panties, and usually a bra of some description, and she could honestly not recollect a forest of undergrowth being involved at any time. Tati had to admit it had been a long time since she had been in a forest, but from what she could recall, the forest didn't smell this musky. She pondered for a moment, trying to remember. No, it definitely wasn't this musky. There was something wrong with this forest, something she couldn't put her finger on. Of course, it didn't help because the veil of night still encompassed her thoughts and the forest, and so she couldn't see anything. The screams that suddenly started in the distance were certainly not commonplace in the forest she'd been in. Well, not unless you were involved with a very strange acting group. It barely sounded human. Well, it didn't sound human. Tati just wanted it to be human, so bad, because it wasn't. Then she had an even bigger problem than being in the forest in just her nightshirt. There was something else out here with her. And it didn't sound happy. The scream happened again, louder, closer. The very sound of it sent a chill up and down her spine. It reminded her of... She tried to recall. It did remind her of something, she just couldn't remember what. Jabberwocky, that was it. She'd seen a recital of Jabberwocky when she was much younger on stage. It had large puppet monsters in it, and everything, and this scream... It echoed again closer. Just this was real. And here. And very, very close. Was she meant to run now? She really wasn't dressed for running through the forest. There again, she wasn't dressed for hiding either. It was so much easier when all this happened on TV. And she knew all the answers then. Right now, she was so terrified. She just stood absolutely still. She didn't run, nor did she hide. So when the large, man-shaped being came crashing through the undergrowth, he caught her squarely on her chin, knocking her to the ground. Before she drifted into the now familiar darkness, she heard the word, "Fuck!" cursed loudly. When she eventually came round again, a pair of shiny silver eyes watched with accusing interest. They tipped from side to side, studying her face. "Why didn't you run?" Tati was aware of the words. They seemed to appear in her mind, as if they hadn't bothered with all the normal irritation of actually going through her ears. Yet somehow, she felt every vibration of those words echoing through every part of her body. "Was I meant to?" she ventured, before rationality swamped her mind. "Where the hell am I? And who the hell are you?" she asked, her mind awash with sudden panic. "I am Karulu." The rhythm of the words caressed Tati in ways she had never thought possible, as if his fingers were massaging the words deep inside her. "You were on my planet, and we are being hunted by the Cassador tribe. They intend to kill us." Despite the severe warning in those words, there was something still incredibly sensual as she felt them caressing every inch of her, almost as if they were vibrating through her. Karulu stood up and looked around. For the first time, Tati could see him properly. He was a lot taller than she had thought. The first rays of the morning sun reflected on his perfectly bald head. His silver eyes were slightly larger than a human's. His face was beautiful, if unusual, and framed by what seemed to be a perfectly trimmed beard. Every now and then, a long, forked tongue lipped around his lips in such a salacious way. Although his body was vaguely man-shaped, if you ignored the tail, of course, he still wasn't quite what she expected from a man. He was completely naked, his muscles ripped under his skin, vibrations moving up and down his body as he stood there, basking in the early morning sun. His tail flicked from side to side, as if it had a mind of its own. It was thick and strong, a tail intended for business, not just for show. As he turned, the muscled plane of his stomach glistened in the golden light. The hair on his chest moved in the morning breeze, almost like the wind brushing over the morning tide, forming a wonderfully artistic mural over his sculpted chest, down over his muscular stomach. Tati whimpered as her eyes drifted lower. An ache erupted between her thighs at the sight of him, so long and wide, and he wasn't even erect. It took her all her willpower to tear her eyes away, knowing full well if she didn't, the dampness that was starting between her thighs was going to be teasing down her legs any moment. He sniffed the air, momentarily looking confused, as if he was trying to place a memory that didn't quite fit. Turning to Tati, he said, "We need to move. The Cazador will be looking for us." Tati shook her head. "Wait, I don't get this," she said in disbelief. "This is your home. Why are you being chased?" Carolu sighed, his shoulders visibly dropping. "It's probably more accurate to say it was our planet. The Cazador appeared some 12 months ago and started hunting our women. As men, we are strong, but nowhere near as strong as we are when we have our women here. The Cazador knew this and hunted them all down." A sadness haunted his face as he turned toward the forest. "They killed every last one. I thought I smelled one just now, but it must have been my imagination." "Why were the women so important?" Tati asked, curious, and perfectly aware this probably wasn't the time for this conversation. "They had an essence, a Siva, and when we tasted it, we became stronger, more aggressive, more territorial. So when they were butchered, we lost that." Pushing a hand over his bald head, he whispers, "We need to find somewhere safe, so we can plan our escape." Tati just nodded. She had no idea where she was or how to get away from here. Right now, she was just grateful for this man, or whatever he was. At least he wasn't trying to kill her. So that had to be a positive, right? Holding his hand for hers, he lifted Tati to her feet briefly as she took his hand. The heat emanating from his naked body was so intense, she could feel it pressing over every pore. This was definitely not the time to be aroused, but damn if she didn't feel incredibly horny with him so close, so naked and so ripped. As their hands gripped a little tighter, she was sure she could feel his huge cock twitching against her thigh, as if it was just starting to grow hard. Pulling her onward, he led her through the undergrowth. The morning dew on the leaves kissed at her naked thighs, taunting her with their icy caresses as they whipped at that most sensitive area. Something about being around this man distracted her so much, filled her mind with carnal thoughts, to the point that she realized she was just following him through the forest, with no thought to why and where. So many questions that should have been burning through her mind, that should have been forcing their way to her lips, yet for some reason around him, they just vanished into nothing. The blood-curling scream rose again, a little way off. Carolu did not pause or ask. He just started running, dragging Tati behind him, the caress of the undergrowth becoming nothing but a determined whipping, sending pulses of pleasure moving through her body. Fuck, this was not the time to be turned on. Yet, she was just a woman. How could she possibly not be turned on right now? Suddenly there was a metallic ringing sound close to her ear, as if someone had hit a long tube with a hammer. Before she had time to think, Carolu fell, sliding down a banking next to them, dragging Tati with him. Once they eventually hit the bottom of the banking, Carolu struggled back against the undergrowth, dragging Tati back, trying desperately to cover them both with the dense foliage. It was then that she saw the wound, the blood seeping from above his pec, as if he had been shot. Panicking, she lifted her nightshirt and pressed it against the wound, trying to kneel over his strong thighs. With a lot of struggling, she just about managed to sit across one thigh. Disconcertingly, she could feel his muscles rippling up and down that leg as she tried to tend his wound. Lots of little muscles vibrating up and down his thigh, which was pressed tightly against her pussy. She was beginning to wonder if this was just some erotic dream. She had never felt so turned on in her life, and at such an inappropriate time. It must be the adrenaline, she controlled herself. But damn, if her pussy was not dripping over his thigh, She could feel it throbbing in perfect symphony, with the pulsing sensations moving up and down his leg. Without thinking, she pushed her pussy down onto his leg a little harder. As she felt those vibrations kissing over her clit, she could not help but moan loudly. Her core clutched wildly, the rising pleasure that flooded over her body, masking any inhibition, any reservation. Her legs clenched tightly around Carolu's thigh, pulling it up against her pussy as she rocked her pelvis, rubbing her trembling folds against the length of his thigh, feeling his muscles massaging every desire in her body. Carolu just watched her, his expression confused. "Aseva," he whispered. Tati let her hand drop to his thigh, rubbing her clit against his muscles with her thumb, her orgasm burning like a wildfire through her body. She could do nothing but surrender to this pleasure, to let go. She knew if she did not let it go, then it would plague them both while they tried to escape. They couldn't afford the distraction. Carolu pulled her tight against him, and he raised his thigh, forcing her orgasm to explode through her body. The waves of pleasure flooded up and down, forcing gasp after gasp, moan after moan to escape her lips. As her breathing slowed, her body still trembling, Carolu's silver eyes watched her with a curious intensity. Without saying a word, he reached down and placed his fingers around her wrist, pulling her hand back up from between her thighs, his gaze holding hers. He slid her thumb between his smiling lips, his forked tongue acrobatically dancing around her thumb, circling it, sucking it, licking every drop of cum from it, before he smiled and whispered, "Aseva." Tati watched in amazement as the blood on his chest wound stopped flowing, and the wound simply healed over. As he continued to suck her thumb, his already sizable cock grew between her thighs, pressing against her pussy. His gaze intensified, holding her rigid with his glowing desire, the silver of his eyes transforming, slowly moving to pale green, and as he continued to taste her thumb, they glistened with a jade green hue, the depth of their color a veritable chasm of desire to swallow Tati whole. Without warning, his tail flicked around her, encircling her, before lifting her slightly. And then he slid down the banking, replacing her astride his face. Voraciously, he ate at her pussy, his long tongue twisting and somehow pinching at her clit as it made broad strokes up and down the length of her pussy. She could feel the intensity of his breath as he sucked on her folds, willing every drop of juice from her body. It was as if his breath was grasping at every inch of her pussy, massaging it, rubbing it with animalistic desire. Fuck. It was like he was dying of thirst, and the only thing that would satisfy his need was the taste of her pussy. It felt so intense, but so fucking good. Tati slid her fingers over his bald crown as she rubbed her pussy over his mouth, the bristles of his beard sending a new wave of pleasure ricocheting through her body. His fingers clasped tightly on her ass, pulling her in as his tongue pressed deeper, dragging the most intense orgasm she could remember through her body, forcing her to succumb to his passion, his need, his lips, forcing her to surrender to her own carnal desires. As his tail circled her breasts, grasping them firmly, rubbing her erect nipples without a hint of sensitivity, Tati cried out in unrepentant pleasure, her voice echoing through the trees as every cell in her body erupted in a volcano of pleasure. Panting, she reached down for his hard cock. Fuck, she couldn't even get her fingers around it. How the hell was she going to take him inside her? Suddenly, there was a snort from the trees at the top of the banking, as if some overgrown wild hog was pushing through the undergrowth. Without warning, Carolu moved her to one side as he leapt from beneath her. Somehow the man that was just moments from death 15 minutes ago was now leaping up a 20-foot banking as if it didn't exist. There were more sounds from above the banking, more grunts, barking, and then a squeal, a long, drawn-out squeal, that sounded, above all else, painful, before a wrenching sound that created images in Tati's mind she would rather forget. A few seconds later, Carolou landed astride her. Leaning down, his fingers pushed between her thighs, exploring the still trembling lips of her pussy, before lifting his hand triumphantly into the morning sun, his bright green eyes fixated on Tati as he announced, "Asiva, we have work to do, lots of work." So that was part one. So you'll have to tune in next week for part two to see what happens with Tati and what this is all about. I know, it's a different fantasy, I'll have to say. It's an interesting one. I do look forward to seeing you next week when we can finish off part two. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast